From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id.
Hello listeners, how are you today? With me, Ahmad Faisal. I'm so fine. I also hope that listeners, all of you are fine. And today, you can also do your best, listeners. And listeners, for today's edition, I would like to accompany you 60 minutes ahead. And we also would like to present some programs started with news and other information, as well as entertainment and Indonesian pop songs. Well, listeners, we begin our program with our news, and stay with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
This is the Voice of Indonesia with the news. First, the headlines. President asked Jakarta to speed up transition to electric vehicles. The 2023 ASEAN Summit in Jakarta has an impact on the economy, micro, small, and medium enterprises, and service providers. I am Ahmad Faisal. Now the news in details. Indonesian President Joko Widodo has asked the Jakarta provincial government to accelerate the transition to electric vehicles or EVs to cut pollution in the capital city and its surrounding areas. This was conveyed by Acting Governor of Jakarta Heru Budi Hartono after a limited meeting with the President at the Jakarta Presidential Palace on Monday, which was held to discuss air pollution. He further said that the president asked the Jakarta provincial government to provide more electric buses to TransJakarta in 2024. According to Heru, the Jakarta provincial government is still calculating the capability of the regional budget for TransJakarta electric buses. He has also asked other local governments such as Bogor, Bekasi, and Depok to participate in buying electric vehicles. The Indonesian Minister of Tourism and Creative Economy, Sandiaga Uno, has conveyed that the movement of Indonesian tourists has reached a total of more than 433 million as of 30th June, with a target of 1.2 to 1.4 million movements in 2023. This was pointed out by Minister Sandiaga Uno at the weekly brief with Sandi Uno in Jakarta on Monday. According to Sandiaga, currently the government is doing adjustment steps with the Central Statistics Agency or BPS through the MPD, Mobile Positioning Data Algorithm, for domestic tourists because there have been several movements in sub-districts and districts not captured by the MPD. He also stated that in order to increase domestic tourists, Indonesia only has one more chance during the Christmas and New Year holidays. Therefore, he encouraged the holding of regional events, namely meeting, incentive, conference and exhibition or MICE, and Karisma Event Nusantara activities.
Kita hanya punya satu lagi.
Indonesia only has one more opportunity to increase domestic tourists, namely the year-end holiday. So the government hopes that all preparations will be made to encourage the events in the region's MICE activities. The government also carries out MICE activities in Padang, West Sumatra to encourage the movement of domestic tourists and the local government. Let's do the best to create quality events with the community. Hati is one of them. This is our hope to promote Karisma Event Nusantara activities, namely the Karisma of the Archipelago event. Moreover, even though the total movement of new domestic tourists has reached more than 433 million as of June 30, 2023, Minister Sandiaga is optimistic that this year's tourism and creative economy performance targets can be achieved. He added that this target for domestic tourists will be exceeded by 10 to 15%. The Indonesian Minister of Tourism and Creative Economy, Sandiaga Uno, has stated that Indonesia is entering the final stage of preparations for the ASEAN Summit. According to Minister Sandiaga Uno at the weekly brief with Sandi Uno on Monday in Jakarta, at the 2023 ASEAN Summit in Jakarta, 27 heads of state and international organizations will attend and stay in 18 hotels in Jakarta, while the summit activities will be held in 5 location venues, namely the Jakarta Convention Center, the State Palace, the ASEAN Secretariat Office, the GBK Courtyard Park, and the Sun Regis Hotel, Jakarta. According to Sandiaga, 2,000 to 4,000 hotel rooms have been fully booked, and the estimated spillover impact can reach 20,000 rooms. He also hoped that with this great potential, it can have an impact on the economy, especially micro, small, and medium enterprises and service providers.
18 hotel ini adalah hotel utama.
The 18 hotels are the main hotels for delegates, and the number of rooms can reach between 2,000 to 4,000 rooms, which are fully booked. It is estimated to reach 5,000, but the spillover effect can reach 20,000 rooms. I can consider that 4 or 5 times more. Therefore, this number is a very large amount. Let's capitalize. It must not only be the event, but it must also have an impact on the economy of Indonesia, both from their length of stay, from the issue of environmental sustainability, as well as micro, small, and medium enterprises and service providers who can get an abundance of blessings from the ASEAN Summit. Moreover, according to Minister Sandiaga, the government has also prepared special tour packages for delegates both in Jakarta, Jabodetabek, Jakarta, Bogor, Depok, Tangerang, and Bekasi, as well as in 5 super priority destinations. In Jakarta, the destinations that have been prepared are the Thousand Islands, Taman Mini Indonesia Indah or Beautiful Indonesia Miniature Park, Zoos, Tourism Villages, and Kota Tua. According to Sandiaga, many delegates choose the extended stay to Bali, but he hopes that not only to Bali, the delegates will also travel to 5 super priority destinations, namely Lake Toba, Borobudur, Likupang, Labuan Bajo, and Mandalika. Indonesian President Joko Widodo inaugurated the Jakarta Bogor Depok Bekasi or LRT Jabodetabek Light Rapid Transit Mode Transportation on Monday. Regarding the inauguration of LRT, Indonesian Minister of Tourism and Creative Economy Sandiaga Uno appealed to the public to use the public transportation so that air pollution can be reduced. According to him, at the weekly brief with Sandi Uno in Jakarta on Monday, there are great potentials for tourist movements by creating many interconnections from the operation of the LRT.
Dengan LRT ini akan lebih banyak interkoneksi.
With the operation of LRT transportation, there will be more interconnections. The government hopes there is interconnections at the end of Duku Atas station to mass rapid transit. Now, I see that this is a very big opportunity for the community, at least from domestic tourists who will encourage movement tourists to use the LRT. Moreover, Minister Sandiaga Uno also expressed his pride of the operation of the LRT because this LRT was built 90% by the Indonesian best talents. The carriage is from PT Industri Kereta Api, the contractor is from Adikarya, and several others are the work of the Indonesian people. He also hopes that there will be an increase around 20% if the infrastructure is built with totally and quality. Let's turn to the international news. The kingdom's top transport official was received by Poland's premier on Monday as the Saudi minister visits the European country on an official visit. As reported by SaudiNews.com, Prime Minister Mateusz Morawiecki welcomed Saleh Al-Jaser to Poland, where they discussed a number of issues of mutual interest between their two nations. The minister also met Andrzej Adams, Minister of Infrastructure and Construction, and discussed ways to enhance joint cooperation in the field of transport and logistics services. U.S. Commerce Secretary Gina Raimondo conveyed on Monday she and her counterpart Chinese Commerce Minister Wang Wentao had agreed on steps to improve communication between the world's top two economies on business and trade following 4 hours of very open discussions in Beijing. As reported by CNN.com, Raimondo's trip to Beijing and Shanghai, which ends on Wednesday, follows recent visits from 3 other key Biden administration officials, including Secretary of State Antony Blinken, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen, and Climate Envoy John Kerry. Attendance at the 2023 Formula One Singapore Grand Prix is expected to dip by 17% due to the closure of the Bay Grandstand as part of effort to redevelop the float at Marina Bay, organizers said on Tuesday, August 29. As quoted by ChannelNewsAsia.com, this means the night race from September 15th to September 17th will attract approximately 250,000 spectators, also the average attendance since it began in 2008 and down from the record high of 3,000-2,000 last year. Singapore Grand Prix Executive Director Adam Firth conveyed that organizers had been actively identifying potential sites for new viewing opportunities. Well, listener, that was the newsline.
You're gone, I know there. Here is today's commentary on disease due to air pollution increase. It's time to wear masks again. I'm Dalat Pane. More recently, many respiratory diseases have infected the people of Jakarta and its surroundings. The diseases were apparently caused by air pollution in Jakarta that had occurred since June 2023. The results of the disease surveillance arising from the impact of the air pollution in Jakarta, Bogor, Depok, Tangerang, Bekasi are an increase in cases of acute respiratory infection, ARI, which reaches an average of 200,000 cases per month. The data was compiled based on reports from services workers at community health centers or puskesmas and hospitals in the local area in the past month. Indonesian Minister of Health Budi Gunadi Sadikin, after attending a limited meeting on air pollution chaired by President Joko Widodo at the Presidential Palace in Jakarta on Monday, explained that the air pollution is one of the main causes of pneumonia and acute respiratory infection, asthma, lung cancer, chronic lung disease, and tuberculosis. According to the Ministry of Health, the disease caused by respiratory problems cost the Social Security Administration Agency up to 10 trillion rupiahs. The Indonesian government through the Ministry of Health has taken anticipatory steps to suppress disease caused by the air pollution. This step is to educate the public about the dangers of the air pollution to health and educate doctors at health centers and hospitals in the Jabodetabek area regarding steps to treat respiratory disease. In addition, the Ministry of Health also appealed to the public to wear masks, which are recommended to have certain specifications that can withstand particulates such as KN94 and KN95 masks. The government's efforts to anticipate the increase in respiratory disease due to the air pollution must be fully supported by all elements of society. They must be equipped with knowledge about the dangers of the air pollution to health. More importantly, anticipatory efforts must start from oneself, namely by wearing masks again. Since the end of the COVID-19 pandemic, people have begun to abandon it. At least, by wearing a mask, people are protected, because masks can block harmful particles from entering the lungs and bloodstream. Wearing a mask can be an effective step in anticipating the impact of respiratory disease due to the air pollution. Masks specially designed to catch small particles can help protect the respiratory tract from exposure to the air pollution. However, it is important to choose a mask that meets high filtration standards so that it is effective in filtering harmful particles. While masks can help, overall pollution reduction efforts are also important to maintaining air quality and respiratory health. That was commentary.
Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2023 is coming back. This year, Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2023 has an essay writing competition about one of Indonesia's five super priority tourism destinations: Borobudur, Lake Toba, Likupang, Mandalika, and Labuan Bajo. Choose one destination you are interested in and write an essay about it with a length of 700 to 800 words in Arial 12, then make a recording of it with your own voice and send the essay and the audio to our email voiquiz2023@gmail.com. This essay writing competition is open from April 10th until August 20th, 2023. The selected winners, one participant for each language services, will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia. The selected winners, one participant for each language service, will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia. The winner will be announced on the 78th anniversary of Radio Republik Indonesia on September the 11th, 2023. The winner will be announced on the 78th anniversary of Radio Republik Indonesia on September 11th, 2023. For more information, please visit our website voinews.id and Facebook The Voice of Indonesia. Be prepared. Who knows, you become one of the winners. From Indonesia to the world.
Listener, we begin today in history with an event on August 29, 1945, the establishment of Indonesian House of Representatives. The history of Indonesian House of Representatives or DPRRI began with the founding of Central Indonesian National Committee or KNIP by President Sukarno on August 29, 1945, or 12 days after the proclamation of Indonesian independence at Gedung Kesenian, Jakarta. The committee had 137 members. The founding of Central Indonesian National Committee or KNIP on August 29, 1945 then became the anniversary for the House of Representatives. House of Representatives is a state institution in Indonesian state administration system as People's Representative Institution. House of Representatives consists of political party members who were elected in the general election. Moving on to August 29, 2005, Katrina Hurricane destroyed New Orleans. Katrina Hurricane hit New Orleans with a 170 km per hour wind and heavy downpour that swept the southern coast of Louisiana. The hurricane flooded part of the city in the lowland with more than 2 meters of water. Mississippi and Alabama were also under water and devastated by the great storm and heavy rain. Katrina Hurricane was dubbed as the most devastating disaster in the U.S. history. 80% of the city was destroyed and flooded. We end with International Day Against Nuclear Tests. The International Day Against Nuclear Tests was an annual observation every August 29th. The day was set by the United Nations General Assembly on December 2, 2009 and commemorated since 2010. Kazakhstan was the initiator of the observation and chose August 29th because at the day, the Semipalatinsk nuclear test site in Kazakhstan was closed on August 29, 1991. The day was commemorated to warn the world about the side effects and dangers of nuclear energy tests against human lives. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Yeah. jadikan canda di kelu bersama. Terkadang-kadang mata bicara seakan-akan semua rahasia. Oh, kebodohan antara kita jadi kenangan manis.
Listeners, you are still with us. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listeners, in today's edition, we would like to give you information about My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, today's My Indonesia is on Jakarta Plurilateral Dialogue 2023, Traces of Effort to Maintain Interreligious Tolerance. Indonesia is holding the Jakarta Plurilateral Dialogue, or JPD 2023, International Forum from 29th until 31st August 2023, and in this forum, Indonesia will convey its strong commitment to implementing a culture of tolerance. At the same time, Indonesia also encourages every country to view the United Nations Human Rights Council, or UNHRC, resolution which affirms the obligation of states to prohibit discrimination on the basis of religion or belief as a necessity. Quoting kemlu.go.id, main expert of the Presidential Staff Office, Siti Ruhaini Zuhayatin, said that the implementation of the resolution could overcome religious and belief-based intolerance practices in any country. According to Ruhaini, Indonesia wants to be involved in promoting good practices in applying the principles of mutual respect and anti-discrimination at the international level. The initiative to hold Jakarta Plurilateral Dialogue 2023 proves that Indonesia has strong modalities to fight intolerance to make them more inclusive, wider in reach. The Jakarta Plurilateral Dialogue, or JPD 2023, was held in collaboration with three ministries and institutions, namely the Office of the Presidential Staff, the Ministry of Religion, and the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. In accordance with the resolution as a multilateral product, the collaboration of these three promote and encourage the fulfillment of human rights without discrimination based on religion and belief. Meanwhile, Director of Human Rights and Humanity of the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Ahsanul Habib, explained that the holding of the Jakarta Plurilateral Dialogue 2023 is a form of Indonesia's active contribution at the global level particularly in fulfilling human rights based on the right to freedom of religion and the right to be free from discriminatory actions. Ahsanul also conveyed that the derivative resolution of the Human Rights Council also continues to emphasize the importance of international dialogue and cooperation to strengthen joint effort to eradicate stigmatization, negative stereotypes, and discrimination based on religion and belief. Indonesia, as a UN member country, actively discusses initiatives to uphold human rights and anti-intolerance, including through Jakarta Plurilateral Dialogue 2023, as a forum that will show tolerance as the key to world peace. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia Today, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Listeners, you are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Well, listeners, we would like to present next segment, Indonesian Wonder. It is about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
VOI listener, today's Indonesian Wonder takes you closer to West Sumatra traditional clothing. Indonesian Vice President Ma'ruf Amin wore traditional clothing from West Sumatra province while attending the commemoration ceremony of the seconds of the Proclamation of Independence of the Republic of Indonesia at the Merdeka Palace, Jakarta on August 17, 2023. Vice President Ma'ruf Amin was seen wearing traditional clothes from Padang, West Sumatra that have purple with a mix of gold accents. The shirt is combined with a songket woven cloth that covers the waist and a dagger decoration on the front. West Sumatra traditional clothing that Vice President Ma'ruf Amin wore has philosophy itself. The meaning of the philosophy in those clothes symbolizes the leadership of the person who wears them. The purple color that dominates the clothes sharpens its character, while the accessory in the form of kris or traditional dagger tucked into the waist symbolizes how people should be wear when taking action. Every person who wears those clothes must think and weigh the pros and cons before taking actions. Listen. listener taking the same vibes with the vice president, his wife Wuri Ma'ruf Amin also appeared to be wearing the typical Koto Gadang clothes of Koto Gadang West Sumatra, with matching shades of purple and gold. Those clothes reflect the Minangkabau native West Sumatra philosophy of Basyandi Syarak, the philosophy Syarak Basyandi Kitabullah applied in society that cannot be separated from the Islamic religious principles. Unlike the usual Minang clothes which use suntiang or crown, Koto Gadang traditional clothing is identical to the square fabric that is worn on the head or known as Tilakuang Tinkuluak. Tinkuluak Tilakuang is a kind of square fabric that is worn on the head, hinted a telekung on the mukena, and hinted Minangkabau people are very respectful of Islamic religion. On the part of the shirt, the model of the curtain on Koto Gadang traditional clothing has a specially designed gap on the neck and has the meaning that the person who wears those clothes can receive suggestions from anyone and have a wise attitude in taking the suggestions. Well, that's Indonesian Wonder from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Rindu.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, for the next segment, we will present you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In our program, Let's Speak Indonesian Language, we will introduce you to some Indonesian vocabularies and expressions, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian language. And this program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. And here is Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Hello, welcome back to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, which introduces Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to converse in the language. Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia, RRI Foreign Broadcasting Station, and the Language Development Agency, Ministry of Education, Culture, Research, and Technology of the Republic of Indonesia. Today's topic is Museum Rumah Kelahiran Bung Hatta. Museum Rumah Kelahiran Bung Hatta, which means Bung Hatta's Birthplace Museum. Next, you'll be listening to a conversation entitled Maukah Kamu? Maukah Kamu? Which means, would you? This conversation takes place between Chris George Robinson, a vlogger from Australia, and Sorta Uli, a friend of Chris' vlog community. Chris asked Sorta Uli to accompany him to visit the museum where Bung Hatta was born. Let's listen to their conversation.
Ada satu tempat lagi di Bukit Tinggi yang ingin saya kunjungi.
Kamu mau kemana lagi?
Museum Rumah Kelahiran Bung Hatta. Maukah kamu ikut ke sana?
After we listen to the conversation, I will provide vocabulary related to today's material. Maukah kamu? Maukah kamu, which means would you? I'll say the word slowly, twice each, and you can repeat after me. Maukah kamu? Maukah kamu, which means would you? Ikut. Ikut, which means follow. Kesana. Kesana, which means go there. Maukah kamu ikut kesana? Maukah kamu ikut ke sana, which means would you follow to go there? Tempat, tempat, which means place. Ingin, ingin, which means want or would. Saya kunjungi, which means I visit. Kemana, kemana, which means where to. Museum, museum, which means museum. Rumah kelahiran. Rumah kelahiran, which means the birthplace. In the conversation, you heard, maukah kamu ikut ke sana? Maukah kamu ikut ke sana, which means, would you like to go there? In that sentence, there is the expression, maukah kamu, which means, would you? The phrase is used to express a request to do something. To ask someone to do something, you can use the expression maukah kamu, which means would you, followed by a phrase that states the expected activity, such as ikut kesana, which means follow to go there. So it becomes maukah kamu ikut kesana, which means would you like to follow to go there. Other examples. Let's listen to some examples of using maukah kamu. Maukah kamu, which means would you, to express a request in other sentences. Maukah kamu menemani saya? Maukah kamu menemani saya, which means would you accompany me? Maukah kamu datang ke rumah saya? Maukah kamu datang ke rumah saya, which means will you come to my house? Bung Hatta is the nickname for Muhammad Hatta, the first Vice President of the Republic of Indonesia. Bung is a greeting word for adult man, more or less means brother. In the city of Bukit Tinggi, there is a house where Bung Hatta was born. The house is now a museum and a historical tourist destination. Before ending, mari berbahasa Indonesia or let's speak bahasa Indonesia today. For more details, let's listen to the example of conversation once again.
Ada satu tempat lagi di Bukit Tinggi yang ingin saya kunjungi.
Kamu mau kemana lagi?
Museum Rumah Kelahiran Bung Hatta. Maukah kamu ikut ke sana?
That was today's edition of Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia with a conversation entitled Maukah Kamu? Maukah Kamu? Which means, would you? Hopefully, this edition will be useful for those of you who want to know Bahasa Indonesia or Indonesian better. We will meet again tomorrow with a different material. Thank you for listening. Sampai berjumpa lagi.
Bangun dari mimpiku, tahu aku tak sendiri. Matahari pun serasa lebih cerah. Dengan kecup manismu, ku mulai melangkah. Ku nikmati tiap detikku, dengan namamu di hatiku. Ku rasa bahagia, dan hati berbunga-bunga. Kau buatku tergila-gila, tunduk hati aku setia selayaknya sihir. Kau buatku terjatuh, tapi tak berlangsung lama. Kau tinggalkan aku, kau pergi berjejak, tanya. Ayo ingat kata-katamu, kau tak akan tinggalkan aku. Ayo ingat kata-katamu, selamanya kamu hanya untuk aku. Ayo ingat kata-katamu, sayang cinta kamu segalanya. Ayo ingat kata-katamu, selamanya kamu hanya untuk aku.
Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2023 is coming back. This year, Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2023 has an essay writing competition about one of Indonesia's five super priority tourism destinations: Borobudur, Lake Toba, Likupang, Mandalika, and Labuan Bajo. Choose one destination you are interested in and write an essay about it with a length of 700 to 800 words in Arial 12, then make a recording of it with your own voice and send the essay and the audio to our email voiquiz2023@gmail.com. This essay writing competition is open from April 10th until August 20th, 2023. The selected winners, one participant for each language services, will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia. The selected winners, one participant for each language service, will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia. The winner will be announced on the 78th anniversary of Radio Republik Indonesia on September 11, 2023. The winner will be announced on 78th anniversary of Radio Republik Indonesia on September 11, 2023. For more information, please visit our website voinews.id and Facebook The Voice of Indonesia. Be prepared. Who knows, you become one of the winners.
From Indonesia to the world.
Listeners, you are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listeners, next segment, we would like to give you information about music. And for today's edition, we will present traditional music.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, today's music corner presents a Malay song entitled Pindang Selais by Tengku Zakir. The song Pindang Selais was composed by Eric S. and the song tells about typical Malay food in Riau province, namely Pindang Selais. The main ingredient of the food is lice fish or Cryptopterus lice, which is processed into curry or pindang selais. The food is so delicious, so if you eat rice with this side dish, you will eat much of it. Lice fish is Riau's icon, where there is Ikan Selais Tiga Sepandan Monument in front of the Riau Mayor's office. Well, listener, here is Pindang Selais by Tengku Zakir. Enjoy the song.
Selais, selais, ikan selais. Apatah lagi di tanah luas ladang, nasi sepio habis tak soda. Kalau pulang-pulang pulang sambal belacan, tunggu lalu bila masak berulikan. Selai-selai ikan selais kalau dipindah goda tua. apotah lagi di tanah toas ladang, nasi sepio habis tak soda. Kalau ditambah gula sambal belacan, mintu lalu bila mata belum bisa.
Well, listeners, we end our togetherness in English language program broadcasting. Would like to say thank you very much for your kind attention, listeners, for you to listen to our program for today. And we will give you another interesting information. And stay with us at Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Well, listeners, don't forget to like and comment at Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, and Twitter @voinindonesia, email voi@voinews.id.